Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, July 7th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Boris Johnson plans to resign as British Prime Minister. We are live in London with the very latest.
The pound strengthens on the resignation news as European stocks climb.
Fed officials stick to their rate hike plan to curb inflation.
And Samsung sparks a rally in chip stocks.
New York Mayor Eric Adams holds a roundtable discussion on city issues, plus looking for a motive for the Highland Park, Illinois shooter. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. A 10-inning win for the Mets, a lopsided win for the Yankees. They make their first visit to the Red Sox tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 13 points this morning. Dow futures up 96, and NASDAQ futures up 55. The DAX in Germany is up 1.6%. 10-year Treasury down 12/32, yield 2.97%, and the yield on the 2-year 3.03%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% at $98.90 a barrel. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we begin this morning with breaking developments out of the UK. Time is up for Boris Johnson as we get word the Prime Minister is finally ready to resign. Let's go live to London and get the latest with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Boris Johnson says he's quitting as Britain's Prime Minister. Even by recent standards, it has been a dramatic day on Downing Street. A snowstorm of resignations from the government at the beginning of the week became an avalanche by yesterday. In total, more than 50 ministers and aides leaving their jobs in protest. But perhaps the final blow came today when the Chancellor, the second most senior member of the government, only appointed to the job on Tuesday, tweeted that Boris Johnson must go now. Well, the PM has finally given in to the pressure and is now preparing his resignation speech. Nathan?
All right. Well, Ewan, when is Boris Johnson expected to actually leave office? What are the next steps for the UK government?
Well, today's news means that the UK is set to have its fourth leader within just 6 years. Now, remember, the Conservative Party still has a majority in the British Parliament, so it's up to the party to choose a new leader who will then take over as the British Prime Minister. A leadership contest is set to get underway in the coming days, with the new PM likely to be in place by October. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. We, of course, will be following this story throughout the day, checking market reaction now. The pound strengthening on the news. It's at 1.1969 against the dollar, and stocks across Europe are rallying. The Stock 600 is up 1.3%, and the FTSE 100 in London is up 0.9%.
Oh, well, Britain grapples with political turmoil, Karen. The war in Ukraine rages on, and now the U.S. and its allies are firming up plans for a cap on the price of Russian oil. The goal is to limit the Kremlin's ability to finance its war. Amy Morris has the details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
They're discussing a cap between $40 and $60 a barrel. The aim is to cut Moscow's revenue for its war in Ukraine, but the risk is that it would lead to a spike in oil prices. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz accused Russia of using natural gas deliveries as a political weapon. The invasion of Ukraine has also forced several European countries to dial back their plans for decarbonization so they can compensate for those cuts in Russian fuel supplies. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. And turning to the economy now, investors are still reacting to yesterday's Fed minutes, and they're also looking ahead to tomorrow's jobs report. We get the details live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John, good morning.
Karen, minutes from the Fed show central bank officials solidified their resolve to keep raising interest rates for longer. They viewed maintaining the central bank's credibility to control inflation as critical. And that has investors still betting the Fed will hike by 75 basis points later this month. Meantime, economists forecast U.S. employers added the fewest jobs in over a year in June, But they say that expected slowdown isn't too concerning just yet. The jobs report from the Labor Department expected to show the unemployment rate remaining at an historically low level. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. Let's talk about an economy of a different sort now. Billionaires and high flyers from the tech and media worlds are all in Sun Valley, Idaho for the annual Allen & Company conference. Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow is there, too, and found this report.
A lot of the big picture macro items are what are top of mind. There are discussions around inflation, recession risk, the volatility that we've seen in public equity markets, the rundown in valuations that we've seen in both public and private markets. But behind closed doors, all of these high flyers are also talking about a number of societal issues ranging from gun control to recent decisions by the Supreme Court. They're also discussing issues of climate change. No sight yet of Elon Musk. The world's richest man is coming to Sun Valley, according to sources. Ed Ludlow for Bloomberg News in Sun Valley, Idaho.
Well, Ed, as you mentioned, we're learning now Elon Musk is expected to speak at the conference. That's expected on the final day this Saturday.
Well, staying with tech, Nathan, we have news on Apple. Bloomberg News has learned the company is planning an extreme sports watch. We get the latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Bloomberg sources say Apple's new smartwatch will be the largest display it's released to date, with a bigger battery and a rugged metal casing. And it's geared toward extreme sports athletes. Apple could use the larger screen area to show more fitness metrics or information on watch faces at one time. The company plans to announce the new watch along with two other models later this year. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Chip stocks are higher this morning thanks to Samsung Electronics. South Korea's largest company reported a better-than-anticipated 21% jump in revenue, and that report is soothing investors' worst fears about the impact of weakening consumer demand and soaring materials costs on the $550 billion chip industry.
And deal news, Nathan. The Wall Street Journal are reporting Merck is in talks to acquire biotech company Seagen. The paper said the deal could be worth about $40 billion. Seagen shares are up 6% in early trading.
And shares of GameStop are up 10% in the pre-market, Karen. That company became the poster child for so-called meme stocks, of course. And now it's announced a 4-to-1 stock split in the form of a dividend. S&P futures are up 9 points. Dow futures up 74. NASDAQ futures up 45 points. 10-year Treasury is down 10.30 seconds, the yield 2.96%. Straight ahead, local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 72 degrees in Central Park. Already got an accident southbound New York State Thruway before exit 15A. We'll get the details in traffic first. Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Mayor Eric Adams held a roundtable-style meeting involving community groups and the NYPD. Adams was asked about the problem of abuse of landlords in the city.
We're going to go back and see how we use the Human Rights Division, the police department, the DA's office, to target those who are harassing older adults. Because, you know, it's against the law to illegally evict. It's against the law to harass. And I don't think there's enough attention on zeroing in on those bad acting on landlords.
Mayor Adams dealt with a range of issues from oversight of homeless shelters and budget. Mayor Adams said the police budget remained flat. We can't live in a city where young people pick up a gun faster than they can get an iPad. Days after a rooftop gunman killed 7 people at a Chicago area 4th of July parade, attention has turned to how the assailant obtained multiple guns. Authorities say Robert Cremo III confessed to the killings. Highland Park Police Chief Lou Jogman says he's, quote, disappointed that more couldn't have been done to prevent Cremo from getting his hands on a gun, but he believes his department did all it could.
Given the constraints of what we have in place, there is only so much the police department can do. We have a social worker on board. You know, we do what we can.
Chief Jogman says Cremo was heading to Madison, Wisconsin to carry out another attack, but changed his mind. WNBA star Brittany Griner's drug trial resumes today in Russia, where she's being held since February. The White House says President Biden and Vice President Harris have called Griner's wife directly to reassure her that he's working to secure Brittany's release as soon as possible. Meanwhile, friends and family of Brittany Griner held a rally in Phoenix to show support for the WNBA star. At the rally, Griner's wife, Sherelle, asked supporters to keep pressure on the administration to get Brittany released.
Let's make sure this administration knows that they have our support to do whatever is necessary, and that we are not going to ever be quiet until she's home safely.
Cheryl Griner says she is frustrated that her wife is not going to get justice. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Welcome back, John Stanshaw.
Thanks, Nathan. Mets have to be encouraged about the return of Max Scherzer. Jacob DeGrom getting closer, but as they trailed in Cincinnati, they might have taken a peek at the scoreboard and seen Atlanta leading yet again. It was looking like the red-hot Braves would close within a game and a half at a Met rally. A game-tying RBI double for Starling Marte, ninth inning. They went to the 10th.
1-1 pitch. Nemo drills it deep to right field, headed toward the seats. Naquin back at the fence, and it's out of here. Brandon Nemo with a three-run homer. The Mets have broken the game open in the top of the 10th inning. It's 8-3.
That was the final. WCBS had it. The Braves blanked the Cardinals 3-0. They're 26-7 in their last 33 games. The Met lead is 2.5. As they host Miami tonight, Monday, the Mets visit Atlanta. Yankees tonight make their first visit of the season to Boston. They'll seek their 60th win in Pittsburgh, avoided what would have been just their second three-game losing streak of the season. Walloped the Pirates 16-0, 22 Yankee hits, 7 home runs, including Aaron Judge's 30th. It was a grand slam. It came off Manny Banuelos, who was a Yankee until just a few days ago. At Wimbledon, won a match. Rafael Nadal shook off an abdominal injury, came from 2-1 down, won a fifth-set tiebreaker with American Taylor Fritz. Nadal says he's not sure he'll be healthy enough to play his semifinal match tomorrow with the Aussie Nick Kyrgios. Women's semifinals are today. Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold were taken first and third overall in the 2018 draft. Didn't work out for either one. The Browns have traded Mayfield to Carolina, and he'll now be Darnold's teammate. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures up 13 points, Dow futures up 105, NASDAQ futures up 60. The British pound strengthening at 1.1968 against the dollar. Bloomberg's Lizzie Burden joins us next on Boris Johnson resigning. Bloomberg 1130 weather, mostly cloudy. Few afternoon showers possible with a high near 80 degrees. More showers likely tomorrow with low 80s for highs. We'll be in the sunshine by Saturday. Right now, 72 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning as softer oil prices and a weaker dollar signal fears about inflation and the pace of monetary tightening are fading. The U.S. 2- and 10-year yield curve remains inverted for a third day. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 13 points this morning. Dow futures up 111 and NASDAQ futures up 61. The DAX in Germany is up 1.8% and the FTSE 100 up 1.2%. 10-year Treasury down 12/32, yield 2.97%. The yield on the two-year, 3.02%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.1% or 14 cents at $98.65 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3% or $5.20 at $17.41.60 an ounce. The euro, 1.0194 against the dollar. British pound, 1.1973. And the yen is at 136.14. Looking at Bitcoin this morning, it's up 0.5% at $20,480. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has agreed to resign. Johnson had rebuffed calls by his cabinet to step down in the wake of ethics scandals. He gave in after more than 40 ministers quit his government and told him to go. We'll have more on the Johnson story in a few moments. In baseball, the Yankees put a what for and why whipping on the Pirates, 16-0. The Mets also won. The Nationals, Orioles, and Giants won. The Red Sox lost along with the A's. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And speaking of what for and why whippings, Boris Johnson is now finally planning to resign. after a wave of resignations that made the last 48 hours very tough to keep up with in terms of UK politics. Luckily, we have Bloomberg's Lizzie Burden back with us this morning outside number 10 Downing Street, where she's been keeping post over the last couple of days here, watching all that's been happening. Lizzie, I've got to think it's been feeling like swimming against a flood, just trying to keep up with all that's going on. And now we have what looks like the denouement here, perhaps.
It has. And let me tell you, last night it seemed inevitable that Boris Johnson was going to resign. And we waited and waited and nothing came. Then when I arrived in Downing Street this morning, we weren't sure if anything was going to happen. It was very quiet. And then the staffers started arriving, and then the cars started moving. And then now I can tell you it's absolutely heaving in the press area with cameras from all over the world. We're expecting to hear from Boris Johnson by noon London time. There's no podium out yet in front of number 10. But the tone of the speech will be fascinating. Remember, his predecessor, Theresa May, was in tears when she resigned. There are windows twitching, curtains twitching across the street of people trying to vie for the best spot to watch. Because what's happened is the usual number 10 meeting this morning has resulted in Johnson's core team telling him that he had to go. There was a letter from his Chancellor, Nadeem Zahawi, who's just been appointed. He's been in post less than 48 hours, and he's told Johnson to resign. There's been an unprecedented wave of resignations, almost a third of the government leaving it in paralysis. And it just seemed increasingly inevitable after the Westminster, as it's called, sex scandals, the Partygate crisis, the cost of living crisis. It's all mounted up, and it now seems finally it's going to be curtains for Boris Johnson.
And as you mentioned, we are expecting this resignation speech in less than 2 hours' time here. We've been told, Lizzie, that Boris Johnson is planning to stay on as a caretaker leader until the next prime minister is chosen by the Conservative Party. Can he stay on that long, given that so many of his own party members have jumped ship?
Well, we're hearing already pushback from MPs on that point. Breaking line that Kwasi Kwarteng is saying that we need to find a new leader as soon as reasonably practicable. One MP said that there needs to be an abrupt halt to the Johnson poison and that the Deputy Prime Minister Dominic Raab should step in. Remember, if you think about Boris Johnson's time in office, at the moment, it would be 1,079 days. His predecessor, Theresa May, was in for 1,106 days. So he'd have a shorter tenure than May if he leaves now, but not if he stays on as a caretaker. But in any case, it's a humiliating end to a political career of someone who only 3 years ago won the biggest landslide since Margaret Thatcher.
As you mentioned, though, it's a short tenure, but it's been like scandal after scandal after scandal for this prime minister. I'm curious why this last scandal involving Chris Pincher seems to be the one that was the final straw for so many MPs.
Well, it started with the resignation of Sajid Javid, the health secretary, and that was quickly followed, I think, 10 minutes later by that of the Chancellor, ex-Chancellor now, Rishi Sunak. And in their resignation letters, it focused on integrity, that they couldn't defend this the government line on the Chris Pincher affair any longer. And that has been the case for other MPs as well. Rishi Sunak, though, in his letter, also pointed out his fundamental differences from Boris Johnson on his handling of the economy. He couldn't stay on board with Boris Johnson's boosterism. He said in the letter, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So it'll be interesting to see of the the MPs who put themselves forward to replace Boris Johnson, what their economic offerings will be, because we're in the middle of a cost of living crisis in the UK. Inflation set to hit double digits in the fall. So economics is going to be crucial.
Yeah, and it's going to be very interesting to see who continues to jockey for position now. What comes next after Boris Johnson? Lizzie Burden, Bloomberg News correspondent, with us this morning. Once again, outside number 10 Downing Street. We'll be looking for more of your coverage throughout the day and for Boris Johnson's resignation speech. As Lizzie mentioned, that's expected around noon UK time. That's 7 a.m. Wall Street time. We will, of course, bring you live coverage right here on Bloomberg Radio. Looking ahead to the market open on Wall Street, futures are moving a touch higher. S&P futures right now are up 12 points. Dow futures up 109. NASDAQ futures are higher by 53 points. We are seeing some strong gains for European equities. The German DAX up 1.75%. The FTSE in London up 1.2%. 10-year Treasury back here in the U.S. down 12 32nds. The yield 2.97%. British pound strengthening this morning 1.1974 against the dollar. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. Bloomberg 1130 weather, mostly cloudy today. Maybe a few afternoon showers. We'll get up to near 80 degrees. More showers likely tomorrow, low 80s. Mostly sunny for Saturday. Right now, 72 and cloudy in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour, beginning with breaking news out of the U.K. Boris Johnson will resign as prime minister following numerous scandals and intense pushback from his government. Bloomberg's Lizzie Burden has the latest from 10 Downing Street.
Resignations had mounted. More than almost a third of the government quit their jobs because of Johnson's integrity over the Chris Pincher affairs handling, the cost of living crisis, the Partygate scandal. It had all been building and government was paralyzed. So Johnson, it seems, can do it no longer.
And Bloomberg's Lizzie Burden says Johnson plans to stay on as caretaker leader until October. We're awaiting a formal statement from Johnson. We'll bring that to you live when it happens right here on Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks for that, Karen. Well, back here in the U.S., the focus is on the economy as investors react to yesterday's Fed minutes. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with that. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. The minutes show policymakers will probably deliver another big interest rate hike later this month. Investors bet it will be 75 basis points. Inflation was referenced 90 times in the meeting. Despite all the worry about an economic downturn, there were no mentions of recession. Meantime, the jobs report from the Labor Department tomorrow, expected to show employers added the fewest jobs in over a year in June. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, John, thank you. And now an economy of a different story. Billionaires and high flyers in tech and media are discussing political and economic issues at the Allen & Company conference in Sun Valley, Idaho. We're told Tesla CEO Elon Musk is expected to speak on the final day of the conference this Saturday.
And sticking with the tech theme, Karen, Bloomberg News has learned Apple's planning an extreme sports watch. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more on that. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Bloomberg sources say Apple's new smartwatch will be the largest display it's released to date, with a bigger battery and a rugged metal casing. And it's geared toward extreme sports athletes. Now, Apple could use the larger screen area to show more fitness metrics or information on watch faces at one time. The company plans to announce the new watch along with two other models later this year. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up 11 points, Dow futures up 109, NASDAQ futures up 45, and the 10-year Treasury down 12 32nds, yield 2.97%. The yield on the two-year, 3.03%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. We're at 72 degrees in Central Park. Still dealing with an accident on the South Bend New York State Thruway exit 15A. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Mayor Eric Adams held a roundtable-style discussion involving community groups and the NYPD. Mayor Adams dealt with a range of issues from oversight of homeless shelters and the budget.
When you look at this budget, and the amount of money we allocated to unprecedented resources going to children and families, the increased dollar amount in the reduced fare MetroCard program. Never before numbers were reached.
Mayor Adams said the police budget remained flat. We can't live in a city where young people pick up a gun faster than they can get an iPad. Prosecutors in Illinois say the 21-year-old man accused of killing seven people at a 4th of July parade in Highland Park confessed to the shooting after being taken into custody. The suspect made his first court appearance by video. The attorney for the accused shooter's mother and father says his clients are hurting too. Steve Greenberg, representing Robert Cremo III's parents, spoke to WLS-TV.
They face charges. They'll deal with charges when it happens. Their concern is helping the community to heal and helping everyone to figure out how to keep this from happening again.
Attorney Steve Greenberg. Illinois State Police say there will be criminal investigations into the culpability of the father because he sponsored the application for his son's 2020 firearm permit. Friends and fans of Brittany Griner held a rally in Phoenix to show support for the WNBA star, who has been detained in Russia since February. Day two of her drug trial near Moscow is today. Former White House counsel under President Trump, Pat Cipollone, is expected to testify under subpoena before the House January 6th committee tomorrow. Cipollone will speak to the panel behind closed doors. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, Yankees unaccustomed to losing two games in a row, weren't about to drop a third straight. A 16-0 rout in Pittsburgh. They scored 11 over their last two at-bats. 22 Yankee hits, six home runs. Aaron Judge in his 30th. It was a grand slam in the eighth inning. Aaron Hicks had a grand slam in the ninth. Yanks have not played the Red Sox since the opening series of the season. That was in New York. Finally, their first trip to Fenway tonight. Start the four-game series. Hal Steinbrenner met the media in Pittsburgh. He says there will be no contract talks with Judge until after the season. Says he has no regrets about the offer they made that Judge rejected. Mets won in Cincinnati, 8-3, 10 innings. They tied the game in the ninth. Didn't take their first lead until the 10th. Brandon Nimmo put it away with a 3-run homer. Atlanta won again. The Braves stayed 2.5 games behind. Rafael Nadal admits his family was trying to encourage him to quit his quarterfinal match at Wimbledon with American Taylor Fritz. He was battling an abdominal injury, but Nadal stuck it out and sure enough won the last two sets, the fifth set in a tiebreaker.
Tough to retire it in the middle of the match. Not easy, even if I had that idea for such a long time. But on the other hand, I did it a couple of times in my tennis career. It's something that I hate to do it.
He hopes to recover for tomorrow's semifinal match with the Aussie Nick Kyrgios. The Cleveland Browns had already moved on from Baker Mayfield, bringing in Deshaun Watson. They traded Mayfield, first overall pick of the 2018 draft, to Carolina, where he'll apparently battle Sam Darnold. He was the third pick of that same draft. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
The U.S. Transportation Department has awarded 16 coveted flight slots at Newark International to Spirit Airlines, denying requests by rivals JetBlue and Alaska Air. The government says Spirit is most likely to provide the lowest fares to the most consumers. Construction of a new Hudson River rail tunnel connecting New York City and New Jersey has taken another step forward. Both states' governors have announced a memorandum of understanding with the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey on financing for the Gateway Tunnel and the Portal Bridge replacement. The MTA is selling $700 million in bonds backed by New York City's sales tax revenue as the largest mass transit system in the U.S. looks to attract investors worried about low ridership levels on subways, commuter trains, and buses. It's the first time the agency is borrowing against sales tax receipts. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Shell sees a $1 billion gain in its refining business in the most recent quarter.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that 3M has reached an agreement in Belgium to clean up so-called forever chemicals, but the deal does not release the company from future responsibility.
I'm Lise Mateo, and on KMOX in St. Louis, I'll be reporting on a new gadget for extreme sports fans.
I'm Stephen Carroll on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We've been reporting on Boris Johnson's last hours as Prime Minister. He'll now resign after an avalanche of his ministers quit.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Michigan gave General Motors $3.8 billion in tax credits in the wake of its bankruptcy.
Now, those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
With each passing day, the brave new world of cryptocurrencies is looking more like the perilous old world of Wall Street circa 1929. Supposedly stable investments are proving to be anything but. Trillions of dollars in virtual wealth have vanished. The right response is relief. Relief that things didn't get even worse. Rarely has a crisis been so well-timed. Crypto managed to boom and crash before it became too connected to the broader financial system. The damage has been limited, mostly to those who, despite ample warning, chose to get involved. There's no need for emergency intervention. On the contrary, the bubble's deflation affords regulators and investors a unique opportunity to reflect on lessons learned. Perhaps the speculative frenzy surrounding crypto will give way to the development of truly valuable applications. For the time being, though, it's better to keep a safe distance. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Listen for Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPI and go. S&P futures up 11 points. Dow futures up 111. NASDAQ futures up 47 points. The 10-year Treasury yield right now 2.97%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, mostly cloudy, few afternoon showers possible, going up to near 80 degrees. Low 80s with more showers likely tomorrow. Sunshine, low 80s for Saturday. Right now, 72 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are on the rise this morning as fears about inflation and the pace of monetary tightening are fading. The FTSE 100 in London is higher following news Boris Johnson plans to resign as UK Prime Minister, and the U.S. 2- and 10-year yield curve remains inverted for a third day. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The S&P futures up 10 points this morning. Dow futures up 103. NASDAQ futures up 39. The FTSE 100 is up 1.2%. The 10-year Treasury down 11 32nds, yield 2.96%. Yield on the 2-year, 3.02%. NYMEX crude oil is up about 1.1%, up $1.03 at $99.55 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.4% or $6.70 at $17.43.20 an ounce. The euro 1.0205 against the dollar. British pound 1.1993 and the yen at 136.07. And Bitcoin this morning is moving higher, up about 1% at $20,570. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. As we've been mentioning all this morning, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson plans to resign, according to officials familiar with his thinking, following an unprecedented wave of resignations from his government over the past 2 days. Treasury Chief Nadeem Zahawi told the Prime Minister to resign for the good of the country. We'll have more on the Johnson resignation in a few moments. In baseball, the Yankees put a what for and why whipping on the Pirates 16-0. The Mets also won. The Nationals, Orioles, and Giants won. The Red Sox lost along with the A's. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts. in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street, 10:49 in London, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Bloomberg's Lizzie Burden joins us once again from outside number 10 Downing Street as we continue our coverage of reports that Boris Johnson will resign as UK Prime Minister and make that announcement later today. Lizzie, thanks for being back with us. For those who may have just joined us, can you get us up to speed on what got us to this point? Because there have been so many developments over just the last couple of hours.
Yeah, well, in the last couple of hours, we've seen the cars arriving, the cameras, and now the crowds are developing beyond the gates of Downing Street, because we're expecting to hear from Boris Johnson in the next few hours. There's no podium in front of number 10 yet, but it'll be interesting to hear the tone of his resignation speech. Remember, Theresa May, his predecessor, was teary. But finally, we're at the point where Boris Johnson is handing in his resignation after an unprecedented wave of resignations from his government. It was paralyzed. About a third of the government had quit, and those resignations keep on coming. It seems that the letter from his chancellor, newly appointed Chancellor Nadine Zahawi, was one of the things that pushed Boris Johnson to the edge, telling Boris Johnson to resign. But it had seemed increasingly inevitable. We've had the recent Chris Pincher affair, the latest chapter in the Pestminster sex scandal, Partygate, the crisis that saw Boris Johnson, the first sitting prime minister, to be found to have broken the law. And on top of that, the cost of living crisis. In the UK, we're expecting to see inflation hitting double digits in the fall. So this is finally the moment where Boris Johnson is deemed to be deciding to call it curtains.
Yeah, and it looks as though this will be the final resignation of this wave. And it's going to set up a new leadership election, Lizzie. How's that going to work?
Well, it's in two stages and it takes several months. The first stage is the shortlisting stage, where MPs put their own names into the hat, and over several rounds, Tory MPs will whittle that list down to two. The idea is to keep out the extreme names. And then the second stage is it goes to the grassroots members to move it down just to one name on who gets picked. But the timescales for each of those stages are set out by the 1922 Committee of Conservative Backbenchers. And if it takes till October to find a new leader, that would only leave them 14 months to set a new agenda before a general election. But whoever takes over is doing so in a time of absolute crisis, economic and geopolitical.
I have to think then that there's probably already some jockeying going on behind the scenes, members of the Conservative Party looking to firm up support. Who are we hearing in terms of names of people who are thinking of taking over as Prime Minister now?
Well, in a way, you could split the candidates into those who've quit and those who stayed till the end. Those who've quit include Rishi Sunak, the former Chancellor, and Sajid Javid, the former Health Secretary. Strong hints of that around their statements and letters of resignation. Then there are those who stayed to the end, like Liz Truss, the Foreign Secretary, hearing she's coming back from a G20 meeting in Indonesia. Also Ben Wallace, Defence Secretary. But on the one hand, those who've stayed seem to be tarnished by their proximity to Boris Johnson. But for lots of Tory party members, those who've left will seem to have betrayed Boris Johnson. So we'll see how the grassroots votes. But their economics could be key. As I say, we're in the midst of a cost of living crisis. But then those with military links, military backgrounds, could also stand a good chance, because, of course, we have the war in Ukraine going on as well.
Bloomberg's Lizzie Burden, thanks again for being with us this morning from outside number 10 Downing Street as we await that resignation speech. We are expecting it later today from UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson. And this headline just crossed the Bloomberg terminal. Sky News is reporting that that speech is expected around midday. So it could be coming in the next couple of hours here. Of course, we will have it for you live here on Bloomberg Radio. In the meantime, we want to get a look at some of the market reaction here. For that, we're pleased to be joined now by Esty Dweck, Chief Investment Officer at FlowBank. Esty, good morning. I'm sure you saw in your terminal the spike in the pound on the news that Boris Johnson plans to resign. What are you looking for in terms of market reaction to what's happening in the UK?
Good morning. Absolutely. We've seen a small move in the pound, but clearly upwards. The pound is usually the best barometer of what's happening in the UK because UK stocks tend to react more with global stocks and they'll react a little bit less to the politics, so that the pound is really the good indicator to keep an eye on. Still a lot of uncertainty. I think the speech that's coming up is going to be the first step that he is actually resigning. So that'll be good for the markets. And then still a bit of uncertainty because in the best case scenario, it looks like we're talking about October. So it's still a few months with a lot of resignations. And of course, the backdrop in the UK isn't fantastic, right? You have this very high risk of recession, extremely high inflation, a difficult conundrum for the central bank, possibly even worse than in some of the other regions. So the view for the pound is certainly an improvement if you have less uncertainty, if you have someone who might be a little more euro-friendly, but with still a lot of work to go before it can recover significantly.
Obviously, the dynamics in the UK are somewhat different from what we see in the US, but Lizzie mentioned a housing crisis in the UK, and we have inflation concerns here, possibility of recession. We heard from the Fed yesterday in the minutes, the resolve to keep raising interest rates to cool inflation. What does that mean for investors?
I think you have to take yesterday's minutes with a little bit of a grain of salt, just because they're a few weeks old, right? And we know that at the Fed meeting, there was the May CPI that surprised to the upside. There was the University of Michigan inflation expectations that has been revised down since. And we've seen a couple of data points showing that a few, maybe the beginning of cracks in the economy, and certainly some disinflationary pressures that should be coming through relatively quickly, including commodity prices. So we know the Fed is going to continue to talk tough. They're probably going to continue to act tough. I think you could have almost a dovish 50 basis points, depending on the June CPI that comes out next week. But we'll still have to probably get through the summer before you have enough data points, both on inflation and on growth, for the Fed to not be, I'd say, only focus on inflation and to maybe realize that inflation is coming down and they've already tightened quite significantly. So I'm not calling for a pause, but at least an acknowledgement of an evolving situation compared to this spring.
We're going to get another big backward-looking data point tomorrow with the June jobs report. What's your expectation there and what could that mean for the Fed? We've only got about a minute left here.
Well, it's one of those, you want it to be soft, but not too soft. You don't want to have recession fears with too bad a print, but you don't want it to be too high and then have those Fed expectations rise again or in terms of tightening. So it's a fine line to thread, but I do think it'll be slightly on the softer side, even though there is quite a bit of a cushion before you start to see really disappointing news in terms of the U.S. labor market.
As always, thanks for giving us your insights, Esty. Really appreciate it. Esty Dweck is Chief Investment Officer at FlowBank as we take a look at a market that's poised for gains for equity investors, particularly in Europe this morning. Right now on Wall Street, S&P futures are up 7 points. That's a gain of about 0.2%. Dow futures are higher by 80 points. NASDAQ futures up 30 points. Look at the DAX in Germany. It's up about 1.5%. So is the CAC in Paris and the FTSE in London higher by 1.2%. 10-year Treasuries down 10 30 seconds. The yield 2.96%. We have inversion between the twos and tens. The 2-year yield is above 3 at 3.03%. NYMEX crude's up 0.75% or 73 cents. $99.26 a barrel, just shy of 100. And the British pound, 1.1990 against the dollar. Bloomberg Daybreak continues on this Thursday morning. This is Bloomberg.